Kenny.
Let us pray together, shall we? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Lord, in the words of the psalmist, we recognize why we are here. We've come today, Lord, looking for your light. We've come today looking for your strength. Send forth your spirit in our worship hour, that we can indeed see the light of Jesus and be strengthened because we've come in the house of the Lord this day. Amen. Stand as we sing.
Justice, which is more.
you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where no water is.
So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory.
Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you.
So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name.
My soul is feasted as with marrow and fat, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night.
For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth.
They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be prey for jackals.
But the king shall rejoice in God.
All who swear in God's name shall glory, but the mouths of liars will be stopped.
Glory be to the Father.
Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray together. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, and we, your people, recognize you as Lord and Father. We, your people, have indeed come to this house of worship, searching forth your name and your praise we sing. We are indeed looking for your Spirit because we know that you will not let us down. Oh Lord, thank you for your wonderful kindness and for your mercy and for letting us stay for a while in this glorious universe and wonderful earth in which you've created. We look around us today and our eyes are filled with the hint of spring, which is only a few weeks away. We give you thanks for the changing of the earth. The grass is turning greener. Buds are coming forth in trees and on bushes. We give you thanks for the buttercups that are coming forth from the earth in spite of cold weather we've had recently. We are grateful for all of this because we recognize you are letting the earth be resurrected from the cold and desolate winter. You give the world new life. And of course, this reminds us of the resurrection and of Jesus raising us up, even as you raised him up. And at the last day, we look forward, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time will be no more. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus and each other face to face. So with our praise and our thanksgiving for who you are, we turn inwardly and we look at ourselves and we are quick to confess that we have not lived nor have we loved as we should have, as you want us to. And we're grateful for the church season of Lent, for this allows us a time for self-examination, for taking out our issues, reflecting upon them, repenting from them, and turning them over to you to be washed away with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, O Lord, for letting us confess our sin and for forgiveness that you constantly give when we do repent and confess. Lord, hear our prayers of intercession. There are many, some very close to us, who are ill, others who are bereaved and are sorting their lives out without the presence of their loved ones. There are many who have broken relationships, whether it be in family or with where they work or friends. All of this hurts us, Lord, and we beseech you, send forth your healing presence. Send forth your Holy Spirit to help us cope with our loss, to help us cope with our fear, and to help us cope with separation. Lord, please be with our country. Please be with issues in politics. This is one of those election years, as we are very well aware of. So guide the process, O Lord, that this country can indeed be enhanced and helped in every way and in every dimension through your Holy Spirit. And with your Holy Spirit, work with those who wish to serve in an office. Now, gracious Lord, you know what it's like to suffer because Jesus did. And there are many places on the earth where much suffering is taking place. In the war zones of Syria, certain places in Africa, in the Ukraine, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Terrible, terrible places where people are being overrun, where refugees are being neglected, and suffering abounds. Whether one is older or younger, suffering abounds. So please send forth persons ready, willing, and able to alleviate the suffering. To your name be the glory, O Lord, and we give you thanks once again, even as we pray the prayer which Jesus taught all of us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Of the cross.
flees. Now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Hurt and torn in two, dead are raised to life.
Time I'd like for the boys and girls to come forward. I have something I wish to talk with you about. Would you come? So how are you? How are you doing, little man? I'm glad you came too. I can't see you. How are you? Are you keeping your granddaddy straight? Good, good. Y'all know what this is.
Band-aid.
What do they do? Anybody ever wear one? When do you wear a band-aid?
When you get hurt.
Now, has anybody got an owie I can put a band-aid on? Nobody's got an owie? Well, shucks. Let's just play like we've got owies, okay? You got an owie? You just manufactured that, didn't you? Well, sometimes we get hurt in life, don't we? Sometimes we fall and scrape our knee. And sometimes we cut ourselves. Yes. And that hurts, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And so what comes out of our wound? Water? What?
Blood.
Blood, yeah. What does this thing do when you're bleeding?
Covers it up.
Covers it up? Mm-hmm. You want to put your finger out here so I can fix you up real good? No.
All right, you will, won't you? What? Want a Band-Aid? They're free.
Well, I bet you can have one. Yes, you'll have one. Now, did that hurt?
No.
Why, no. Now you've got a prize, haven't you? You've come to church and you've got a prize. Anybody else like one? Well, if I had Spider-Man on it, he'd want it. Now, sometimes when we get hurt, we have a bruise or we bleed. And so people put a Band-Aid on. And what that does is help keep germs out. It keeps the bleeding from keeping on bleeding. And it also can help with healing, especially if we put medicine on it. Now, notice what happens. We can get hurt. But what do we do next? Try to figure out who hurt us? Or why we got hurt? Or get upset because we got hurt? Oh, yeah, we'll do all that. But we do something to make it better. And that's what God does when we get hurt. He helps us make it better. Always remember, no matter what happens, God is there to help make it better. Let's have a prayer. Thank you, O Lord, for Band-Aids. Thank you for helping us through medicine, through treatments, through therapy, through all kinds of ways to make things better when accidents happen. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you for coming up. Are you on television? I thought so. I thought I was going to lose some Band-Aids today, but I didn't. Just lost one.
Drunk with the wine of the world, we forget.
Our scripture today is taken from two places in the New Testament. First, reading from 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 1 through 13, and then from the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Let us hear the word of the Lord. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So, if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. And now from Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Amen. And here end these readings from God's most holy word. Today I'll be dealing with a very serious and tedious issue which affects all of us, regardless of religion, creed, or approach to life. It is called, in theological and philosophical terms, the theodicy question. Whole university courses have been written and taught on the basis of what happens when you have a God who is all-loving, all-powerful, and all-wise, and then bad things happen to his creatures and to creation itself. Because if God is all-loving and all-wise and has strength and knows what to do with everything, why does he allow it to happen? So this question is one of the weaknesses of the Christian faith, because many a Christian theologian has simply put his pen down and said, I can't write anymore. So you may want to take notes on this if you would like to think about it further. And if any of you would like my notes here, you may certainly have them. And it is recorded and will be by at least tomorrow. Is that right, Keith? Will be on the internet? Okay. Because I have gone into about 50 years of thinking for this sermon, and it has been something I've wrestled with constantly as a student, as a seminarian, and as a pastor. You and I both have seen so much. We'd like some answers, please. So in wrestling with this matter, I've come up with this sermon, and I will commend it to God and to you. It's something I hope we can live with. There's much more to my story in searching this than we have time to deal with today, but I just wanted you to know it's very serious in our Christian faith. So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In 1978, a Jewish rabbi by the name of Harold Kushner, he was from New York State, and he found that his three-year-old son had a degenerative disease and would not and could not live a normal lifespan. Immediately it struck him like someone slapped him in the face, and he said, why? What happened? Did his mother and I have anything to do about the cause of this disease affecting our son? And over the next several years, he started writing a book. And then a few more years later, the book came published, a popular bestseller. And the title of it is the same as the title of my sermon, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. It's an excellent volume, and it does delve into the theodicy question. If God is all good, all powerful, and all wise, why do bad things happen? The only problem with Kushner's book for us Christians is that he did not have the benefit of the New Testament or of Jesus Christ. So he's written a great statement, but it's limited by Jewish theology, custom, and practice. Although I have to confess to you, in rereading the book, I have found the Spirit of Christ in it, in spite of him being Jewish. So this just tells me that Jesus can go anywhere he wants, even into the pen and mind of a Jewish rabbi. And I just kind of smiled and said, go, Jesus. This is wonderful. Now, back in the first century, Jesus dealt obliquely with this question, because in Luke 13, we have an example of current events. The people are talking, much as we talk, about a major event that's happened. Were you there? Did you hear that? Do you know who caused that, etc.? We can hear ourselves clacking our teeth as we talk about current events, of course. I had a good time with the Sun School class. We were discussing who won basketball games, and I was delighted to see one of our members wearing Duke blue today. And that reminded me we've got a major game today as well as Wednesday night when we, I don't even want to mention it, when we play the team that has light blue on their uniforms. And that's the type of chit-chat that we would have. Now, I am a little bit disturbed today because I see a number of you, not with big orange, but the University of Georgia colors. There's one right there, and one just left today. Is he embarrassed? Is that why? And I think Karen had University of Georgia colors on. So we won't tell the big orange people what's going on down in Rockwood. But I understand that since they began to lose, there have been some disheartenment about the big orange. But maybe we'll come back. Let's hope so. More fun to win than lose, isn't it? So anyway, with this current events discussion, our Lord picks up on it. And they're talking about Pilate killing some Galileans. 18 of them, or a number of them, 18 were killed by a crash at the Tower of Siloam. So Jesus says, now what did these people do to deserve a death in this fashion? Are they worse offenders than anybody else? Don't know. They didn't know either. But Jesus said, you better repent or you'll die in the same fashion. Not that you'll die tragically, but that you will die. Anyway, you better repent. Better turn back to God. And when we look around, we recognize that, yes, some have premature deaths. Some are stricken in life prematurely. And we want to know why. Now, the quick and easy answer is simply to admit this is part of the world in which we live. That life is not fair. It is not. There are many things that are uneven. Many things. Why do the wicked prosper? That's another one. Why do good people, why are they so poor many times? And we can think of all kinds of unfairness. But I want to point out, too, that Jesus recognized that goodness and evil lie side by side in this world. Consider, in Matthew 13, the parable of the wheat and the weeds. It seems there was a wheat field, and it was beginning to grow, but an enemy came just after the wheat was planted, and the enemy planted weeds to go along with the wheat. Now, how many of us have dealt with weeds? I've got a yard that's sprouting weeds and grass at the same time. I know what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to let them grow. Because weeds and grass, they get cut down the same way. But it was a higher stake for Jesus. Because wheat is something that they ate. So who put this in the field? Jesus said, the enemy did. The evil one sowed the weeds with the wheat. So the disciples, wanting to be good servants of Jesus, said, well, shall we go around and pull up the weeds? And Jesus said, no. Let the weeds grow with the wheat. Because if you pull up the weeds, you're likely to serve the wheat. Let them grow together. And then, when it's harvest time, we'll cut both of them. And we'll bind up the wheat and put it in a barn, but we will burn the weeds. So there is a final judgment that all of this, you see, will be sorted out. That's the parable. But what I want to draw from the parable is that Jesus knows very well that good and evil are together in this realm. It is part of the given for living in this realm in the first place. So then, with goodness and evil together, Where is God in all of this? Where is God when unfairness comes to ourselves, to our loved ones, when prematurely things happen to us in the way of lack of health or an accident? Where is that, and how does it fit into God's plan? These are our questions. Rabbi Kushner pointed out that in his parish, he got a phone call from a family. It seems that the family had just heard from the university where their 19-year-old daughter was a student. University officials called them and said, "Your daughter was walking to class and she collapsed. She was taken immediately to the hospital and found she had a brain aneurysm and she is dead." Rabbi Kushner immediately went to the family, and he was very uneasy, as all of us clergy are when we approach situations like this. And he did his praying, as all of us do, before going into the home. He wondered if they would be mad at God. He wondered if there was somebody they were going to blame. They wondered if they're going to fuss at the university by not doing more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of this went by and through the rabbi's mind. So he walks in and was surprised because none of that was present. What happened was the couple said, "Oh, Rabbi, we brought this on. We did this to our daughter because we did not fast at Yom Kippur. We should have fasted, and we didn't, so our daughter's dead." And he said, "What? You think because you did not fast that killed your daughter?" All of us are trying to assign blame, trying to figure out who's responsible, why they are responsible when bad things happen to good people. This is the human nature of wanting to know why and figuring that everything can be explained rationally and that reason will have an answer. How often have I heard us say, "Well, there must be a reason for it"? But let's examine that. It's going to depend upon how we understand God. Fundamentally, we must look at what we think about God. Who is God for you and for me? If we believe in Christ, if we have professed our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, this means that we necessarily believe that God is love. That's a fair assessment for all of us, isn't it? Don't we believe that God is love? I certainly do. And when you look at love, this means we recognize that love must have an object. It also means that the abstract philosophical definitions of God, namely that he is all loving, all wise, and all powerful, that's philosophy. That's what's called a posit for you and I to continue our discussion. If God is this, then that means that follows. But if one says God is love, then it comes down to where you and I live. How do we see God? For God also is spirit. Where do we see the spirit of love? When we see the spirit of love, we see God present. Pure and simple. Love takes an object, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, shall have life, everlasting life. Now, God understood his love, and love understood his needing an object. We now see why God created the earth. And it was without form. It was void. He brings order out of chaos. God loves his creation. He loves the world. It's his. It's his creation. And Jesus points to God as being the creator. Now, creativity is something we do. We love to create. I love to see a fantastic garden or a beautifully mown yard. I love to see artwork. It jumps out at me sometimes. Sometimes it turns me off. But otherwise, to be creative is part and parcel of what we are as created in the image of God, our creativity. It's our humanity. But we have the image of God that also lets us have choices. We also need to look and see, what about within God's nature himself? Because where did evil come from? And lo and behold, we find in the Bible that God himself both creates weal or goodness and creates woe or evil. And you're about to shake. No, my God can't create evil. Not if your God is philosophically defined. If you posit that God can or can't do something like that, then you leave out the Bible. And here's something to jot down and keep in mind. Isaiah 45, the third part of verse 6 and verse 7. And this shakes our philosophical understanding of God. Here we go. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal happiness and create woe. I can be pretty rough on you. I, the Lord, do all these things. So if you want to know where evil comes from, it's part of the nature of God. You and I are capable of evil. We ever done anything we're ashamed of? Have we ever said anything we wish we could reel the words back? Have we? Of course. Are we not created in God's image? Who is the author of goodness as well as evil? Now, if we understand the biblical understanding of God, if we understand God through Jesus, now we've got something to work with. Now enters the power of prayer. Because God depends on us to help God present goodness instead of evil. Do you believe in a personal God? Of course you do. That God loves you personally? I certainly do. Would you believe God is and has a personality? You read in the scriptures that God becomes angry. In our youth department Bible study, we are reading Genesis, and we have found that God gets angry. The people are all evil, and he is so furious, he's sorry he repented them. He made them, and he's repenting of making them, and he's going to flood the earth, and he's going to kill them all except Noah and a few more folks and animals. Here we have an understanding of God being angry. Wow. With his personality, do you think he's ever disappointed? Have you and I ever disappointed God? I confess I have, and I'm so ashamed. Have you disappointed God? God is a person. God is personality. God is spirit. And Jesus came to help us understand how to cope with the presence of God on every condition. We must pray. Pray for understanding. Pray for direction. Pray for insight. Pray for patience. Pray for healing. Prayer is the essence
of our communication with God. We look at Jesus, his ministry and his mission. What did Jesus do when he knew he was going to be killed and he had not done one thing to deserve death? Even the pagan Pilate said, "I find no evil in this man." But yet he was killed. People were jealous of Jesus. So what he did, and this is what we are to do, we are to face the evil, not run away and deny it. We are to face the evil and say, "Bring it on. With God's help, he and I will deal with it. He and I will overcome it." And this is our response when it comes our way. Jesus lost the battle for life in this realm. He was indeed killed. He did indeed suffer horribly. People walked away from him who loved him. They denied him. They betrayed him. He took the worst that humanity can give. But he kept faith in God. That's our first thing to remember. He suffered. He died. But he showed us how to cope with our ultimate demise, death. You see, part of the bargain for getting born into this realm is to be born into an unfair world and to have to die. That's part of our bargain. How we deal with it determines whether or not we are faithful Christians and can keep the faith. Because through Christ and Easter Day, God is the final victor over illness, bad luck, terrible things that happen in this realm. That's what Easter's all about. And he showed the world through Christ that he can overcome whatever will tear into us. But let's answer the question. Why do bad things happen to good people? First of all, collateral. Collateral damage when nature really tears up, like in a tornado or a flood. Collateral damage when war comes people's way, or social upheaval. Collateral damage can be very evil. Also, mutations of cellular life. Sometimes our cells get damaged for whatever reason, and they start reproduction in unhealthy ways. That's out there. Environment brings them on. What we may or may not have done in life brings them on. Self-abuse, lack of self-discipline, all of that can change the molecular structure of who we are. Why? Simply because that's how it's put together in this world. Also, keep in mind, we can be tested by God. Remember what Jesus had to say about Pilate killing the Galileans, about the people who died when the tower fell, what St. Paul is talking about being tested, but not beyond our ability to be sustained or to overcome it. God is there with us. Did not God test Abraham with Isaac? To kill your only son? That's what God asked Abraham to do. But just as he was to raise the knife and plunge it into his own son, God said, "Uh-uh. We have an animal that's just out there in the weeds. You do that." But God tested Abraham. That's my point. And Job, the story of Job, fantastic, God testing, using Satan to test Job. And St. Paul facing the Christians after he persecuted them, God is testing St. Paul. "Paul, can you go into a room with people whom you look for to kill? They may kill you. Can you handle it?"
And what about the saints of Christian history? They were tested, and guess what? The congregation of Rockwood United Methodist is tested every day. How often do we look after the poor in our community? How do we do this? With joy? With happiness? I saw a lot of hungry people last night, around 80 folks. Many of you contributed. You know, there was very little left in all that soup and all that chili. And we did have a few sandwiches left. The young people will devour them tonight. But I'm telling you, the joy of helping and our attitude as we come to help the people, that is of critical importance, and that tests us here at Rockwood. You know what? They don't look like us. They don't wear the clothes we wear. Some of them are way heavy. And you know what else? Some of them stink. But is that the reason why we don't want to help them? We're in trouble if that's the reason. But that's just another aspect of how we as a church are tested. And we're continuing. And we will always be there for you, Tommy, and for Linda. We are in lockstep as Linda deals with this untimely attack of cancer. And others, we are right there. And we're tested each time. Regardless of what happens, will we be faithful? Will we keep in prayers? And I say as your pastor, yes, we will. So what do we do when it's our turn? When bad things happen to us, what do we do? We follow Jesus. We use his example. We let his spirit lead us. And we do what we need to do to proclaim Christ as victor over sin, death, disease, bad luck, and everything else. So Rabbi Kushner's book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, it's excellent. I commend it to you. But he is not able to say, in response to that happening to us, follow Jesus and trust God to overcome evil with good. He can't say, let's enlist our efforts to help God overcome evil. Because God is with us and he wants and desires our help when bad things happen to good people. Now, I appreciate your patience. I know I've run into overtime. But sometimes ball games get into overtime and you don't get up and leave then. So this is far more important than UT winning or losing or Duke winning or losing. Are there any other ball teams out there besides those? But anyway, we commend this to God. And in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Now we have seen and heard and sung the word from God. Let us now, in response to God's gift, give him his tithes and his offerings. Thank you. O God, our Heavenly Father, accept this, your tithe and our offering, and use this money to further your work in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.